Listening part 2. You will hear an interview with a woman called Maggie Wharton who is skilled in the sport of kitesurfing. Listen and choose the option which best fits according to what you hear. Mark the letter A, B, or C on your answer sheet. Complete each of the following questions from 6 to 10.
So, Maggie, welcome to the studio. Tell us about the sport of kitesurfing. What is it and how did you get into it?
Well, in kitesurfing, your feet are strapped to a surfboard and you're holding onto a big kite. And the wind takes you along on the water at tremendous speed. From the point when I started, a long time ago, it took me about a year to feel I could really call myself a kite surfer. At least I was physically in good enough shape from the outset, though the lack of any really suitable instruction obstructed my progress. Having said that, it was straightforward to get everything you needed, but there wasn't the range you see now. It's become one of the fastest growing sports in the country.
So, what's changed in the sport during that time?
Well, helmets have gained increasing popularity. And I guess they're good because if you fall off, you could easily hit your head. But my generation never felt the need for one. On the other hand, the wind is the fundamental element that all kite surfers have to learn about. For example, you should never go on the water if the wind's coming from off the land, as you could be blown out to sea. And I'm not sure if kite surfers now are as up on that as we were. Of course, they'll know obvious things like not surfing in places near rocks or power lines, but sadly those hazards still aren't as flagged up as they might be.
Right. And you now take part in international events.
Yes, I'm going to Fiji soon for an 8-day competition. It's a new event, but the organisers are keen to get it as a regular fixture on the calendar. We'll cover 150 kilometres, and perhaps a new world record will be set in distance kitesurfing. And it'll be great if, as a result of seeing me take part, people will decide to give it a go. But it's not just distance. We'll be able to show off some freestyle tricks too.
But you've done some amazing distance events before.
Yeah, I've kitesurfed well over 100 kilometres. That was tough, particularly on the feet and knees. And the fog meant my support boat was no longer visible for a while, which was an uncomfortable feeling. Then, halfway across, I changed to a bigger kite so I could get more speed, and things went more smoothly after that. But apart from a few dolphins for company, we were out in the middle of the sea alone.
An amazing achievement. So, why have you done so well, do you think?
Well, it was always likely that I'd take up some kind of water sport because I grew up near the sea and my parents taught me to swim at an early age. It was the unpredictability of kite surfing that appealed to my nature, really. I've always gone for things that are less straightforward. But of course, you don't get anywhere if you don't practice.
Listen again.
So, Maggie, welcome to the studio. Tell us about the sport of kitesurfing. What is it and how did you get into it?
Well, in kitesurfing, your feet are strapped to a surfboard and you're holding onto a big kite and the wind takes you along on the water at tremendous speed. From the point when I started, a long time ago, it took me about a year to feel I could really call myself a kite surfer. At least I was physically in good enough shape from the outset, though the lack of any really suitable instruction obstructed my progress. Having said that, it was straightforward to get everything you needed, but there wasn't the range you see now. It's become one of the fastest growing sports in the country.
So, what's changed in the sport during that time?
Well, helmets have gained increasing popularity. And I guess they're good because if you fall off, you could easily hit your head. But my generation never felt the need for one. On the other hand, the wind is the fundamental element that all kite surfers have to learn about. For example, you should never go on the water if the wind's coming from off the land, as you could be blown out to sea. And I'm not sure if kite surfers now are as up on that as we were. Of course, they'll know obvious things like not surfing in places near rocks or power lines, but sadly, those hazards still aren't as flagged up as they might be.
Right. And you now take part in international events.
Yes, I'm going to Fiji soon for an 8-day competition. It's a new event, but the organisers are keen to get it as a regular fixture on the calendar. We'll cover 150 kilometres and perhaps a new world record will be set in distance kitesurfing. And it'll be great if, as a result of seeing me take part, people will decide to give it a go. But it's not just distance, we'll be able to show off some freestyle tricks too.
But you've done some amazing distance events before.
Yeah, I've kitesurfed well over 100 kilometres. That was tough, particularly on the feet and knees. And the fog meant my support boat was no longer visible for a while, which was an uncomfortable feeling. Then, halfway across, I changed to a bigger kite so I could get more speed, and things went more smoothly after that. But apart from a few dolphins for company, we were out in the middle of the sea alone.
An amazing achievement. So, why have you done so well, do you think?
Well, it was always likely that I'd take up some kind of water sport because I grew up near the sea and my parents taught me to swim at an early age. It was the unpredictability of kite surfing that appealed to my nature, really. I've always gone for things that are less straightforward. But of course, you don't get anywhere if you don't practice.